B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
To help us understand everything that's going on with this 76ers squad from NBC Sports Philadelphia, former Sixer, former Temple Owl, Mark Jackson joins us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good, man. Doing well. Rough game with the Sixers last night. First and foremost, the injury with Ben Simmons. How serious do you think this is? How many games do you think we can look at? I know they're going to get more information today. What are you expecting from Ben Simmons?
You know what? I want to see when this information comes out what exactly happened, you know, or not exactly happened, but what's the diagnosis of his injury. I'm just hoping he got a stinger in his shoulder. As Trey is familiar with, I'm just hoping he got one of those and be back, you know, tomorrow night in Utah because they're going to need him. But if there's anything more than that, man, it's going to take time to get over not having Ben.
Yeah, it looked like he hit the ground hard on his back, and then in the next possession or two, he was on offense trying to back a guy down on the paint or to the board, the block, excuse me, and that's when he grabbed the shoulder in pain.
Yeah, exactly. But before that, during that play when he hit the ground, right before that, he reached for the steal, and then he went up and fell. And I think when he reached, I thought he started grimacing before he actually hit the ground.
Okay.
So, you know, he's speculative, but, you know, hopefully it's not too bad. Just give him a massage, he'll be good.
That's what I'm saying. Throw some icy hot on it and get on through.
There you go. No, forget icy hot. We got to go with Tiger Bomb, Trey. Come on.
Yeah, Tiger Bomb, too. I mean, you know, that Tiger Bomb will get it.
Yeah, it will, boy.
I've heard the legend of Tiger Bomb.
Oh, man, it's nasty.
Mark, the other thing is Joel Embiid just looked like as the game went on, he was wearing down. And I know Rudy Gobert is one hell of a defensive center, one of the best in the league. You're looking at Joel Embiid, though, in the third and fourth quarter, and he just looked like he was getting tired and tired and tired.
Yeah. Well, you know, you miss a week. You know, when you miss a week, you know, it wears on you, especially when you're a big frame guy. It's not like he's like these little guys running around here and like Neto and stuff like that. You know, Joel's a big guy, 7 foot, 280 pounds. So when you sit out, it takes a while to get in a rhythm. But when you do come back, the first minute, first quarter, first half, that's you feeling good because you got fresh legs. But then your conditions start wearing out halfway through. And as you see last night, he started bailing Gobert out, not really attacking him, not really attacking Utah, and he settled for shots. And he gave advantage to the Utah Jazz.
Speaking with Mark Jackson, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Sixers pre- and post-game analyst. You brought up Raul Neto. Some fans are already starting to clamor for Trey Burke. Do you know why that might be? Any idea?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. To me, I like Neto. I said I like Neto when I talked about him in the preseason game. I thought he was more of a Brett Brown type of guard. He's not going to come in looking to get his buckets. He's going to take what's given to him. And I think with Trey Young, with Trey Burke, you know, Trey's a very good backup. He has 11 points last year. But when Trey come in, he looks to get his shot. And I think with the 76 offense, when you got Joel, you got Josh Rich, you got Tobias, you need to be more of a facilitator. And that's why I think Neto's playing a little bit over Trey. Trey is a very good point guard. Both of them are very good point guards, and I think they're two different kind of players, and that's why coaches and Neto. And I thought Neto played pretty good last night. Mm-hmm. People can't complain about that.
Mark, how much of a feeling out process do you think it has been so far for Brett Brown on both sides of the ball? And with this whole Neto stuff, you know, I still think he's auditioning guys. He's still trying to figure out guys where they may fit. We might see Trey Burke after, say, a 10-game stretch. But as far as a feeling out process, where do you think Brett is on all this?
You know, I think with Coach Brett Brown and all the coaches, I think he's going to go with works. And if something's not working, he's going to make an adjustment. I mean, look, let's go back to the playoffs last year. He was throwing Zaire Smith in the game of playoffs. So no one's rotation minutes are guaranteed. So everyone got to be ready. But with that being said, we got a lot of moving parts in this team. We got a lot of different players who's coming from different places. Tobias, we got Al Horford, Josh Richardson. That takes time. That takes time and... You know, it's not going to be over 5 to 10 games. I think it's going to take 25 games for this team to really gel. But there's 25 games if everyone's in the lineup.
Tell me this. How much do you think this team feeds off of Joel's energy?
I think it feeds a lot off his energy. But I also think with that, Trey, I think with that being said, it also bogs down a little bit. Because I think Tobias and Al are diverting so much to Joel that I don't think they're looking for their own. So I think with this offense already flourished, Josh Richardson said it last night. He said, hey, you bounced back from a real good game. Why? He said, man, I just went out and played. I stopped thinking and played. I think Tobias and I'll have to get to that point where they're not worried about fitting into the offensive scheme and feeding off of Joel. Just go do your thing and everything will fall in line. Because don't worry, Joel's going to get his. Don't worry.
Speaking with Mark Jackson, that is an interesting thing, though, when you're talking about how this team needs to gel over the 25 games of everybody playing together. So we're already out three with Joel Embiid, with the suspension for the two games, then obviously just a little, I don't know, load management, if you want to call it that, the sprain, ankle sprain. So you're looking at what? That's going to be 25 games before they hit their stride then?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's going to take time. It's going to take, and I know people don't want to hear that. Let's be honest. I'm a Philly guy. You know I'm a Philly,
yeah, of course.
I'm a Philly guy.
Yeah.
But I'm always going to speak facts. People don't want to hear, oh, you need 20. We need to. But remember, the championship is won in June. So with that being said, you have to build chemistry. Any championship team has to build chemistry going into there. So you need people healthy. And if you get Joel coming back from suspension, now Ben's out. And then I don't know if you noticed early in the game, let's say Josh Richardson was holding his back. So he fought through it and finished the game. But I was just like, man, no injuries. Everybody got to be in that lineup. Everybody got to be able to get practice when they do practice. To form the chemistry so they bond, and then they can gel. I really think, and I still believe in it, I really think this team this year is the championship or bust, period.
Hmm. Mark, I want to go back a couple of games. When Phoenix implored the defensive idea of having Aaron Baines covering Ben Simmons, basically staying back in a lane, giving him what he wants outside but not allowing him inside, I didn't see anything that made me feel good about the way the Sixers attacked it at all. What was your feeling on that? What do you think they should have done? And you know, what do they do going forward when teams do this to them?
You know what's interesting about that? You know, you got to get kudos to Coach Monty Williams, who was assistant coach here last year. You got to get kudos to Bane, who's Ben's teammate, an Australian mate that knows him very well. It was funny. They asked Dario before the game, a shoot-around, what he expect? He said, we got something special for Ben. So when he came out, I was like, what? He's like, I'm not saying I got something special. So why don't we put Bane's on him? And Ben struggled. Ben struggled to finish over Bane. We know Ben's not shooting anything. Ever since the three-pointer he shot in a preseason game,
mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons has not scored outside the paint yet in any more games. So if that's the case, why have a guard on him? Have a center on him. And that's exactly what Phoenix did. So for me, I wouldn't feel good about it either, because it's the same tactic that Toronto used, that Milwaukee used, and it worked to a certain extent on Ben last year. But instead of waiting to the playoffs, for Monty Winthrop and Phoenix Suns to do it now, that's just going to implore other teams to do it now. But that's going to force Ben to say, hey, all right, enough's enough. I got to shoot this jump, hopefully.
Yeah, Mark, I'm in a spot right now where I was never one to get up in arms over the internet videos and the Twitter videos, but now I just flat out hate it, because you saw it throughout the offseason, even more so than the previous one, yet you haven't seen him, as you said, score inside the paint, or excuse me, outside the paint, since the season started, even going back to the preseason. I'm done with it. I get flat out pissed off now, because it is part of Ben Simmons' game that he needs to develop in order to get that spacing, so you don't have a center coming out to play your point guard.
Exactly, and let's keep it real. What's the point of showing us all that if you ain't going to do it in the NBA?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, don't tease us like that. We Philly guys, and you know, let's be honest, Philly guys, we know Philly people. You know how we get. So if you showing us and you personally putting that video out there, your trainer or whoever putting it out there, so now we're going to call you on it when the season comes and you're not doing it.
So then
it gets them Philly fans in that stadium. You know they got a quick trigger when it comes to booing. If you ain't going to start shooting it, you put it out there, they might start booing it.
So let's go a little deeper, Mark. Instead of just saying if a Baines is going to stay in a lane or whatever team it may be, and they decide to throw a stationary center against Ben Simmons, instead of just saying, yeah, he's got to shoot jump shots, specifically, how would you attack it with Ben Simmons?
The only way to attack it is the pull-up. You got to shoot the pull-up. When teams keep backing off you, like it was a great, great situation with Tobias, Ben and Tobias had a pick and roll, and they switched, and Baines was guarding Tobias. Tobias drove at him hard, put him on his heels, and he shot the pull-up. That's all Ben has to do. Ben does not have to shoot a three-pointer. He didn't have to shoot a mid-range. Mm-hmm. People play off of him all the way under the paint, and that'll solve all that.
All right, Mark, I got to ask you going forward, two last things for you. One, coming up against the Denver Nuggets, how do you think the Sixers fare in that game? And I know you're waiting for more information, but Ben Simmons, any chance he plays in that game?
You know, I hope it's just a stinger. Like I said, if it's a stinger, I think he'll be in the starting line. And Ben's not about that load management stuff. Ben is very avid. I don't want to do that. I'm leaving. I'm too young for that. Ben's not going to allow them to put him in a load management. So that's him. So if he's healthy, he's going to play. How do we fare? I like us. But I will say this. I'm curious to see how Joel is going to be after only being active. This will be his third day back when they play Denver. Is he going to have enough juice and that altitude to be able to finish and not just start strong, but play and finish the game strong? Because he's guarding the Joker, Jokic, and the Joker is a point guard. He's the first point center in NBA history. Like, they get the rebound. If he don't get, they give it to him. He brings up the floor. He calls the play. And Joel has to guard him because the next person, he's even going to guard Burton. He's going to guard Paul Millsap. So I really think he's going to guard Joker. That's going to be a difficult task. So he's going to be challenged in both ends of the floor.
Last thing for you. Oh, you got something, Trey?
No.
Real quick, the last thing for you. Temple, 1-0. Aaron McKee, 1-0. Temple head coach, hey, not looking too bad.
Let's start the season. Let's end the season now. Let's finish.
I'll be at Drexel, not for nothing. Respect Drexel, but, you know, it's a solid start.
A win is a win. You are what your records say you are.
There you go. Mark Jackson, always great catching up with you, man. Thanks so much for breaking it down for us. Catch Mark Jackson, of course, Sixers pre- and post-game live. Thanks, Mark.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, guys.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.